Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you. And as Todd prayed, I hope that whatever I have to say will help us all draw closer to God. And that's our aim as we bring a lesson from God's Word, that it helps you and doesn't hinder you on your walk. And if you would, let's go ahead and turn together to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at a verse there just to get us started, because these things have to start in order to get finished. And we'll be singing that invitation song 870 in just a moment. Philippians chapter 2, we'll look at verse 12 together. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Wow, there's a lot of responsibility on that last sentence, isn't there? We are accountable for our own salvation to a large degree, right? That's what that verse tells us. It even tells us how, with fear and trembling. And so let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. We'll look at verse 31 together. This applies to the church and how it operated when those members worked out their own salvation with fear and trembling. It says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." It was helpful for them. It's helpful for us to understand what this fear and trembling is all about. I fear that we lose that, don't we? We lose that as Christians in the walk many years down the road, where we don't hold to where God is and who God is, and we don't understand how close it is that we bargain with our soul and we risk it. Right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's our responsibility to bring ourselves to salvation and to do things that help us on the road to salvation. But the how is what we're looking at today. And that's the only thing that's going to be on the screen for this morning, just for a little while. Got a lot of rambling to do first, right? Got to wear you down a little bit. No, I'm kidding. So if we're going to define what fear and trembling means, that's one of the things we're looking to do. Because it's important for us to understand that fear is a response that we have. It's a very strong response. When we're afraid of something, we know, don't we? And sometimes that's how we first respond to the gospel, and with reason. Because we know where we are, and we know we're not in a good relationship with God, and we stand at this cliff's edge, not having a soul where we want it to go, and being afraid of where that might take us. Sometimes we respond to the gospel out of fear, what might happen to me. And if we leave it there, that's not a good place to stay. Our relationship with God is not just based only on fear. It's got to be built on so much more, doesn't it? But we can't forget about who God is and how our soul hangs in the balance either, right? So let's be reminded of some of those things. People prefer to hear only about God's love and his long-suffering and his mercy, right? And sometimes when we would point out something about God's righteous indignation or his response to sin, and we talk about God's holiness and his justice, some people may say, "Well, my God is not like that." That's a response. So the emphasis today on that vein of that talking only about God's love and mercy is a response. Is a response sometimes of our previous generation or even today, where we focus only on that hellfire and brimstone preaching that has a place, but is not the only place, right? So could it be that we go to the other extreme instead of talking about God's justice and his righteousness and how he responds to sin? Can we lose our idea about the concept of fear and trembling? Has it been lost in the weeds because we focus only on something that we want to focus on? Could it be that that's why we grow lukewarm in our service, that we forget about who we serve, we forget about God and who He is? Could it be that we've forgotten whom we should fear if we are negligent in our service? So let's define. Let's start off with a definition of what the fear of the Lord is. Let's point out that why fear of the Lord is important to us as Christians. And let's also suggest how we can develop a proper fear of the Lord without going to one extreme or the other. Fair enough? Yeah? Okay. So fear in the Old Testament, I think that sometimes we lose track of that a little bit. We weren't there. We weren't there to witness God's fury or His swift response to some sin, right? We weren't there to see the mountains shake or feel it or to see the lightning and the fire, just the response. So that's kind of how that fear is represented in the Old Testament, one of terror or an awesome or terrifying thing. We can also define fear as respect. We see that used in the scriptures as well. We can define fear as reverence. How about piety? Right? Okay. So a proper fear of the Lord would then include reverence and awe of God. A proper fear of the Lord would include being afraid to offend God in any way. Is that a good one? I think so. In Hebrews chapter 10, we have verses 26 and 27. That's a scripture we've probably read a lot. But it bears repeating at this point because it tells us that place where we've gone too far, where we don't have a healthy fear of the Lord, that we've gone sinning in the face of all of it. It says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." And then in chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, same chapter, Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, it says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Put it together already, didn't I? In those two short scriptures, the connection's made, right? How we respond to God with reverence and awe, because He holds the answers. He holds the judgment. He is God, right? It's important for us to build a foundation under everything that we build, right? And so starting with that understanding of who God is with reverence and awe is important. It is critically important. Those Proverbs, there's a bunch of them, right? And they chain together very well. You know what those are. We've read those scriptures before, and they're all good, because in 1:7 it says, the fear is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. 8:13 will cause one to hate evil. Fear will cause one to hate evil. 10:27, fear of the Lord will prolong your life. These are basic building structures of where we are, right? Okay. Chapter 14 and 26 and 27, fear of the Lord will provide strong confidence and is a fountain of life. Fear of the Lord prompts one to depart from 16 and verse 6. I like this one in 19:23. I like this one a lot because it's important for us. Fear of the Lord will lead to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. Julie talked about that in our Bible class, where when we make good choices, that spares us from the consequences of doing something evil or wrong, right? It's important, right? And the last one, 22 in verse 4, the fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life. Right? Is that a promise to get rich? Rich in what? Rich in the Lord where it matters most? I would say yes. Life and honor. Important. Important foundational facts about how we build from fear of the Lord. So, without it, without fear for the Lord, where does that take us? Al talked about that in our Bible class too. We're going to flirt with evil without a healthy fear for the Lord. Fear of the Lord. We're going to flirt with evil and be corrupted by it. If we don't fear the Lord, we close ourselves off from His Word, don't we? And what do we get from His Word? We get knowledge, right? We get wisdom. We can get strength from God through His Word. But when we don't have a fear for the Lord, we don't care about His Word, we can't gain that advantage now, can we? We won't take the next step. Without a good fear of the Lord, we won't take the next step and come to a knowledge of Him and His love and His care for us. It's hard to progress from somewhere if you don't start off with that proper foundation, right? Okay. What about when we fall? We fall into sin. Will we be motivated to repent and return to God? Not really. Isaiah chapter 66, you saw it on the board there. It's a good scripture to read. So Isaiah chapter 66, let's look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Psalms 103, let's look at verses 17 and 18 together. Psalms 103, verses 17 and 18. It speaks about the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. Foundational, important. Without it, where are we? Good questions, right? So how do we nurture and build this healthy fear of the Lord without going to that extreme that we talked about earlier? The fear of the Lord comes from what? Hearing the Word of God. How do we discover something if we don't learn about it? If we don't open up the Word and learn about God, how do we expect to hear about Him? I can preach to you all day. You would find better truth on your terms by reading the Bible when you can, right? And there you would discover exactly who God is, right? So you can get a little tidbit here from us talking to one another and teaching one another, but you're going to get the true treasures from reading the Word of God, right? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Let's read those verses together. The children of Israel were told to gather every 7 years to hear and read the Word. What was the purpose? We're going to read it twice. The purpose was that they may learn to fear the Lord. So let's read those verses together. Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that He will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. And be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. So as one reads this word, can we gain a healthy respect for the fear of the Lord? Can we learn about that? Yes, hope so. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. This is Paul speaking here. It says, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality." He's going to be fair. He's going to be fair to each one of us. That's encouraging. How about 2 Peter 3, looking through at verses 7 through 14? 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 14. And it says, "But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, that all should reach repentance." You see God's mercy in that sentence, don't you? Craig speaks about this quite a bit. That one sentence talks about how God gives us each day a chance to repent and come closer to him. That's patient. That's merciful, right? Gives us a chance to get it right. Let's continue. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace." So the word's going to show us the way to this fear, this healthy fear. Does it make sense? Does it help us? I hope so. So it's important for us to figure out, and it's important for us to emphasize, that we need to avoid extremes, that we've got to read and consider all of God's word to teach us, to lead us, to help us, to save us. Let's not leave anything out. Some people will read only about those love and mercy portions and leave out the other side of the fence. It's important for us to get a good balance of the entire word. We know that God is full of love. We know that God is full of mercy, right? What does it lead to when we ignore other parts? Do we develop an attitude of permissiveness? Do we let ourselves do exactly what we want to do? Right? We say, well, if God is only love and mercy, everything I choose is okay. I don't have to pay attention to the rest of the word, right? Okay. Let's not go the other way. Let's not only focus on the fire and the hell and brimstone and forget about God's love and mercy. We can't. Just as important as it is to understand judgment and the end of this earth and where our souls will go, it's just as important for us to understand God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. So if we have this psychotic fear of God, where does that lead us? It doesn't lead us to a healthy place. It helps us develop a terror in our own minds of this, and helps us forget about grace and compassion that God does have, right? We can't forget about either side. So in those verses we just read in 2 Peter 3, you saw the grace and mercy in that passage. You saw where God is, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. God doesn't want us to lose our souls at all, not one of us, the whole world over. It's important for us to get that. So let's be careful how we use the word, right? Psalms chapter 89. Psalms chapter 89, got it on the board there for you. If you'd rather not turn, that's fine. Just there's a couple verses there. So when we think about God and who He is, can there be found someone who is as strong as God? Can we find someone who has as much love as God? No. There isn't anybody that's equal to God. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. That's our God. Totally awesome. Totally. If we're making a choice now about where we're going to go, what we're going to do, because life is what? It's full of choices for every one of us. It doesn't matter how old or how young. What your road has been up till now, you still have a choice before you, just like I do. Am I going to choose a righteous path for the rest of my life, or this today? Or am I not? We all have that choice before us. Am I going to change my attitude to what's something that God wants? Or am I going to be rebellious and change it to something else? So let's choose a life that begins with a good, healthy fear of the Lord, understanding who He is in this universe, the creator and sustainer of everything that we see. And let's let that grow. Let's let that start there, but let's make it grow. Let's have it grow into a loving, a respectful, a dedicated service to Him. Every journey has a start. Every sermon has a beginning and an end. The end is near to this one. It's an encouragement to you to get back on the path if you wandered from it. If you haven't taken that first step to follow God and get close to Him, now's a chance to do that. Hopefully what I've said encourages you. Hopefully what I've said today helps you understand where God is in all of this. Hopefully you've heard what you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to understand that, to be able to confess Him as your Savior, and to make a change. Let's change from where we were going to where we want to go. And let's get you baptized. If you need to make that start, won't you come forward as we stand and sing this song?